Good morning and welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. I'm Amy Otto, joined by Lee Cantor. Good morning, Lee.
Good morning, Miss Amy. How are you feeling today?
I'm good. I'm really good.
You're a little busy?
I'm very busy and also just enjoying the outdoors.
I know. The weather's been good.
Yeah, the weather's been great. Great time for the river. Although, you know the Chattahoochee River never gets above 58 degrees?
Really? Is that true?
Yes. Did you know that? And it is cold.
Yes, it is cold. Did you, what'd you do? Kayak?
Yeah.
You're a kayaker, right?
Yeah, big time kayaker. And did the shoot the hooch too, which was fun.
Nice. Yeah, my son and I, we got a two-man kayak, mm-hmm. inflatable, and went down.
Ooh.
It's easy. You put it right in the car and then meet at the other end. And
yeah, that's the best.
Deflate.
See, I've finally figured that out. You have to have someone drop
at
you off.
Yeah, that's, that's a key element there. If
yes.
not, you're in trouble.
Absolutely. But I found out all kinds of interesting things over the weekend about the release of the dam and the current and all that.
So you researched it before you went in?
I did. I did. This time I did. We've got a great show this morning, Lee, and we have a repeat guest this morning, only thing he's back in a different capacity. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show this morning. We have Mark Perlow. Welcome.
Thank you, Amy. Good morning.
So last time you were here, you were Dr. Perlow to me, and this time you're just Mark,
no,
right?
Just Mark. He got demoted.
A man of many hats. So Mark, you're involved with Essential Theater. Tell us about it.
Well, Essential Theater is a company that's been around for 12 years. We've had a theater festival of three new plays that we run together in repertoire during the summer for 1 month, and every night there's a different play. We're running now at Actors Express, which is where we perform our three new plays.
So do you actually perform? That's your role?
No, I, like Scott, I manage a lot of the back end to keep our actors and directors and staff happy.
Oh, so no desire to act? I find that a little hard to believe.
My daughter and son are the actors and musicians in the family, so I make it possible.
So you're the guy behind the guy.
I'm the guy behind the guy.
And during the day, he plays a doctor. That's interesting. So you've been involved with them for how long?
I've been involved with them for about 3 years, and I started off as a volunteer and took on additional roles. And I really enjoy reading the new plays and getting involved in really cutting-edge theater. And that's why I also participate on the board at Actors Express.
Okay. Let's introduce Scott as well. Scott, you're also with Actors Express Theater Company. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
So, Scott, how do you and Mark work together?
Well, I'm the managing director at Actors Express, so I manage all of the business administrative side of the theater. And I'm fortunate to have Mark on our board of directors. So we work in that capacity at Actors Express, and we have a very collaborative relationship with Essential Theater Company. They're currently using our space for their current festival and series of three plays, and we work quite a bit together in supporting that effort, and it's been a great relationship for us.
Go ahead, Lee.
Is that a common thing for different theater groups to kind of collaborate in that manner?
It's getting to be more and more common just because of the economy, and you know, it's a difficult time for arts organizations, and we're looking at ways to collaborate, work together, reduce costs, and support each other.
And Essential is a much smaller company and younger company, so looking to Actors Express and Scott, I almost see it's a mentoring relationship, so they can provide advice and resources and ideas that can help us do a better job at what we do. So it's really the knowledge that is shared and the support that's really important to our being able to perform.
And then what's in it for them?
Rent, bringing new people from
new people to the theater.
Audience,
right.
That they also learn about Actors Express. We share and promote when they're doing a season ticket sales drive. We're now sending that information out to our audience. They make their audience aware of the shows that we're doing. A lot of the work is fairly similar in that both theaters are looking for cutting-edge new plays. We want our patrons to leave the theater and the experience isn't over. They're going to leave, whether it's an Actors Express production or an essential theater production, they're going to leave the theater talking about this and maybe over the next couple of days come back to revisit the experience they had in the theater.
And then this gives, Scott, this gives you the opportunity to have plays happening all the time?
Yes, it enables us to, you know, our season ends at the end of June. And generally, in the past, we've had the kind of the summer we would be dark. And it's been a great opportunity for us to fully utilize our space by having them there. It's almost continual activity from the end of our season till the beginning in August.
Now, how does Georgia compare to other states as far as theater? I know I was just recently at the opening of the Playhouse at Sarenbee, and it was fabulous. I mean, the talent was amazing, and it was packed. Now, I don't know if that's because it was the opening night, but how does Georgia compare to other areas?
I think it's actually very strong. It's pretty remarkable. Atlanta seems to be the core area in the Southeast, and we have about 20 nonprofit theater companies, professional companies, and they're all very successful in different areas. It's a pretty lively industry here, and we've been successful in supporting a nice base of actors and theater professionals, and it's pretty self-sustaining, and we're very fortunate for that.
One of the, from a financial standpoint, though, I think Atlanta is incredibly creative because our arts organizations make do with a lot less. In Atlanta, the support comes down to about a dollar a person from government money, where if you get to a community like Denver, it's as much as $14 a person that the government is putting in to support the arts. So we're having to scramble to look to new ways to continue our activities.
How is does the corporate environment help you guys? There's so many businesses based here. Are they generous in this area?
They are fairly generous, but
there's just so many mouths to
feed. There's so much they can do, and there's been definitely a trend, especially since 9/11. Corporations have really cut back in their direct support to funding the arts. And just to tag onto what Mark was saying, Georgia, and it's more of a Georgia issue than an Atlanta issue in many respects. Georgia's 47th in the nation in terms of arts funding. In fact, and just to elaborate, I've got more specific data.
Is that in terms of government giving to the arts, or is that in total people, everybody?
That's government giving. It's about 40 cents per citizen in the state of Georgia per year, compared to Alabama's like $1.22 per person. Mississippi, 67 cents. North Carolina, $1.18.
What's New York?
Much higher.
Yeah.
But it's remarkable like Mark said, we're pretty scrappy here. We manage to do a lot with very little support. Mm-hmm. And on top of the fact that we get so little government support, and actually it's important to realize that every dollar spent in funding is multiplied seven times in the economy in terms of regeneration of revenue and economic drivers.
So it's a good investment, you're saying.
It's an exceptional investment. And generally when people go to theater, it's just part of what they spend. 70% of the time, they're also going out to dinner before or after the show.
Right.
So there's a lot of extra financial benefit that other folks receive by having this activity. And one thing, just another note on that matter, is tax support. Georgia's only one of only seven states in the country that charges sales tax on nonprofit tickets. So we're generating a lot of sales revenue. Sales tax revenue, which is an additional burden that we have to pay sales tax, that most states don't require that of their arts organizations. So it's really an environment that's pretty challenging.
Right, they're making it tough for you guys, but you're still able to succeed. Is this an area where does your talent come locally, or are you getting people from outside the state to come here to participate in the performances?
Well, our theaters are all pretty much local. Other theaters will attract folks from out of state, mm-hmm. but it's less and less common. And we personally like to support local artists.
So is that local playwrights?
Well, in our organization, we're unique in that we have a playwriting contest now where tomorrow night we are opening a play called Qualities of Starlight, which is our playwriting prize winner. It was written by Gabriel Jason Dean, who is a Georgia resident, and each year we pick a play by a Georgia playwright, and award that with a person with a monetary prize and a full production of their script.
So he was a novice playwright? Like he had never had one?
No. He's had other plays done at local theaters, and actually just last week won a playwriting prize for Samuel French, which is a national playwriting organization. So he's starting to receive national recognition. And a number of the playwrights who's have entered plays with us initially have gone on to bigger and
That's fantastic.
Better national reputations.
Wow.
So we see ourselves as a stepping stone for these local people.
So who's the one that picks these plays? Who has the eye for that?
Well, our artistic director, Peter Hardy, has the ultimate authority, but there are a number of people, including myself, who read scripts. And this year we had over 60 scripts from playwrights around the state who have been submitted, and we have to read through them, cull them, and oftentimes we'll do a reading where we'll bring actors in, listen to the play, and then decide whether we want to produce that one or not.
That's got to be a lot of fun, reading all of those.
Only the good ones.
Only the good ones, yeah.
Yeah, sometimes you might need a glass of wine to get through.
Well, you know, even the bad ones, what it's attractive to me is that people are looking to tell their story, and they want to write it down. And a lot of people say that theater may be a dying art, but when you look at so many people having stories to tell and putting them down for the stage, I think that's a fantastic opportunity.
Yeah, I heard an actor say that with the new popularity with 3D movies now, and this actor was saying that I work in 3D, I work on stage. You know,
that's right.
That's the ultimate 3D.
And you don't have to wear funny glasses to see it.
So how has social media changed what you're doing now? You know, the community newspapers are still going strong, but the HAC quite not so much. So how are you advertising and how is social media helping you?
Well, Facebook has been an incredible tool, and Essential Theater was one of the first theaters in the area to start using YouTube as well. So we would interview the directors and the actors, so people got a backstage look at what was going on, not just like a movie trailer, but we wanted to bring people into the entire process and bring that out, and that happens through Facebook, through emails, through Twitter. You know, if the volume in the house is a bit low in terms of ticket sales on one day, we can Twitter to our followers and let them know that we have a bargain for tonight's show so that we can bring people in. So all those things are incredibly helpful tools that really are available on the cheap.
Have you used any of those kind of the group buying, like Groupon, any of those services?
Well, we started out. Yeah. I'll let Scott talk about that experience.
Yeah, it's amazing. Those organizations seem to be popping up left and right. We've done quite a bit. We've used Groupon, Scout Mob, some other local
organizations. Has that worked for you guys?
It really has. It's pretty amazing. It's been a really good tool to introduce us to people who aren't familiar with the theater, that are just looking for a deal. And so it's a great way to expose the theater to new folks.
Were you able to take those people and move them to season tickets, or are they just coming to try it and then it's one and done?
It's a little hit and miss. A lot of times we get people that do become regular patrons, but sometimes they're just people that just want to explore and try different alternative entertainments.
Right, but that's good too.
Sure,
that's
absolutely.
Great.
We love
You'll
the exposure,
take all,
of course.
Right.
Yeah.
Y'all, thanks for being with us today. Can you maybe just share what you've got coming up and your website so the folks that are listening can check y'all out?
Sure. Actors Express is preparing to open our 23rd season. Their next show is Becky Shaw. It's a terrific comedy that was a big hit off Broadway last season, and we're very excited to have that. We have five shows through the season, and we're in the middle of our season ticket campaign right now, and lots of good opportunities. We're doing a world premiere later in the fall of Albatross, a local playwright. We're very excited about that. And another world premiere in January. So our website is actorsexpress.com.
Is it all together or is there a hyphen?
There's actually a hyphen between Actors and Express, but you don't really have to have the hyphen. It'll work either way. But
okay. Yeah,
check us out. I think you'll find we have an exciting season ahead, and we'd love
to. So you can get information about what's coming, season tickets, how to donate money if you want, right? Because that's part of your always
it's
fundraising,
all there,
right?
Yeah. One stop.
And Central Theater has got its three play annual festival running now at Actors Express. And we have the world premiere Qualities of Scarlight. Starlight. We also have Rita Doves play Darker Face of the Earth, and a play by Peter Hardy that is Sally and Glenn at the Palace, about two young people working in a movie theater. All three plays are charming. I've seen them all, and I'm really excited about this year's festival. We're online at essentialtheater.com, and that's T-R-E theater, or facebook.com/newplays. And that will get people more information, discount tickets, the latest news, and it gives them an opportunity to speak back to us. What we want to do is get the audience involved. It's not really theater until someone sees it and is affected by our work.
Right. And on the website, is there information about if they have a play they're working on, if they want to submit it for next year's competition?
Yes, there is. And we're actually, we have all the plays for next year, but we are accepting plays now for 2012.
Wow. Man.
Terrific.
Good stuff.
Y'all, thanks for being with us today.
It's so important to support the arts.
It really is. It really is. And I appreciate you coming back for a second visit, Mark.
And
thank you.
Any other things you do that we'll see you promoting shortly? Or is that it?
Fertility.
Well,
fertility and plays, right?
That's
well,
right.
My son is starting on tour in China doing hip-hop music.
So we'll have him back on.
We'll provide some information about an Atlanta musician moving to China at
there
some
you
point.
Go. Well, sounds good.
That's interesting. We got to get an update on that. Thanks for being with us this morning. You know, Lee, our next guest this morning, when you talk about social media, which it seems like just about every guest these days is, our next guest, I've got a lot of questions, because when it comes to social media, the last thing you think of is cemeteries.
Yeah, that's what the last thing you think of?
Last thing I think of.
Probably the last thing everybody thinks of is cemeteries.
Social media and cemeteries. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show this morning. We have Chad Elkins, and he's with Foursquare Atlanta. Welcome.
Hi, good morning.
So tell us about Foursquare Atlanta.
Well, Foursquare's he's a social media person that uses Foursquare.
Right. Okay, Foursquare Atlanta and Oakland, so two different topics.
Okay, but, tell me about Foursquare.
Okay, Foursquare. Well, Foursquare is kind of the next phase of social media, and it ties in not only social aspects but a geolocation type of thing. So it's adding, like Twitter and Facebook just talks about you're just pushing out information, interacting with folks. Well, Foursquare and Gowalla's and these type of new applications tie in your actual location, like where you're at that time.
Right.
And you get there, announce that you're there, and people can see that. And
you could become the mayor.
That's
did
for
Foursquare. Did you check in here? Because this is a Foursquare location.
It is a Foursquare location. I'm actually already here. And you guys have a mayor, so someone
that's right.
Does
someone is the mayor, not me.
Y'all are speaking a language I so don't understand.
Now, this is, Chad can explain it better than me, but a lot of the retail establishments, this tool works extremely well. Like, say you have a restaurant somewhere, right?
Okay.
And then you put your restaurant as one of the locations, or they don't even have to put it. It becomes there, just kind of the community places it there. Whenever somebody goes there and checks in, the restaurant can keep track and reward the people who check in a lot. They can reward you for checking in. They can reward – if you check in a lot, you become the mayor of this place. They can give special discounts for the person. There's lots of benefit for the retail establishment.
There's definitely for businesses that use Facebook and Twitter, this is just the next step in that. I mean, it's the best thing about it is you're offering and targeting a special to people like at the right time. I mean, when they're at your store, at the point of purchase, you can relay that special across. Businesses do get some data on the back end about who checks into their location. So that's like a side benefit to running a special. But you can offer specials to everyone who checks in. It's also like a frequent buyer type of system. You can set up specials to where you only can get that special every fifth visit or tenth visit, so it kind of replaces the old school punch card
right.
type of things. Or you can reward people that just reward the mayor, for example. At some locations,
right.
will do that.
Right, like some places, if you show that you're the mayor, you just show them that on your phone, then they give you like free drinks or something.
Wow.
Right.
where have I been?
You missed this one.
Totally missed this one. So, Chad, tell us a little bit about what you're doing for a cemetery.
He's doing Oakland Cemetery. You know Oakland Cemetery?
I do
the
know
famous
Oakland Cemetery.
Cemetery. Mm-hmm. Chad works with them to get them in the social media world. And using Foursquare is one of the tools you use, right?
We're working on a Foursquare promo now that hopefully should come out pretty soon. So Foursquare Atlanta is not directly associated with Foursquare. It's more of a community resource. Mm-hmm. It was kind of started because of Foursquare Day back on April 16th. And I kind of started Foursquare Atlanta to aggregate specials and to try and help plan the big party for that night, just for that one day. And it really caught on very well. And so after Foursquare Day was over, I decided to try and let it use that same platform with the website and the Twitter account and the Facebook page to help local businesses, you know, kind of spotlight what they're doing, what kind of specials they offer, and to help individual users who have problems with an account, or to help merge venues or edit venues for people and things of that nature. But so that kind of carried on. You know, after that, and if businesses have promos that they're running, they can let me know, and I can help push that out for them as an extra resource to help market that they are doing something for the Foursquare community. But Oakland Cemetery, a little bit different. I started volunteering there about a year and a half ago now, and was doing tours and working at the visitor center, and they were not using social media really at all. They had a Facebook page. It was rarely getting updated, and a lot of that was just due to staff limitations on time. It's a pretty lean organization over there. And ended up asking them, well, hey, you guys really should be taking more advantage of Facebook and Twitter and these social media tools that are out there to reach not only an existing audience, but to try and bridge into a new demographic that Oakland Cemetery hadn't really ever found a way to bridge into. The living, right? They do a pretty good job at dealing with the non-living over there. But so it was a way to try and get folks in there that from a different Gen X, Gen Y type of set. And they said, okay, well, that sounds great. So do you want to do it? And I was like, okay, fine, I'll just do it. And so I started out. That was almost a year ago this month. And we've had a lot of success with it. It's really everything that we hope to get out of it, we have gotten out of it, and probably then some. And it's right now, I think we're probably the largest cemetery in the world, I guess, from a social media perspective.
From Foursquare.
We're the largest Twitter followings of any cemetery in the world, and Facebook and things like that.
Who is the mayor? Like, why would someone want to be the mayor of
the cemetery?
It's probably one of those dubious places, I guess, you know, that and adult video stores and whatnot. So Oakland's not that bad. I mean, it is a city park. A lot of folks come right there on a regular basis.
And they have tours. Can you talk about the tours? Do you know anything about the tours?
We do. We offer tours every Saturday and Sunday to the public. Private groups can schedule a tour any day of the week directly with the cemetery. If you've got an organization or a small group that wants to come there and have your own tour, you can schedule that. But public tours, every Saturday at 10, 2, and 4, we give our general overview tour. And every Saturday at 6:30 p.m. is a rotating schedule of specific topics that focus on just one aspect. If it's just in the Civil War, for example, just on Margaret Mitchell and Gone with the Wind, and just on, let's say, the Jewish grounds was one we had last weekend. And so it kind of deep dives a little more into specifics, while the general tour gives you a good overview of everything that went on or goes on at Oakland. Sunday is 2 and 4, and then the Twilight Tour at 6:30 is in our specialty topic program. And we all that information is on our website, and we push it out on Facebook and Twitter quite frequently.
Give us your website.
OaklandCemetery.com.
Okay, and what's your Twitter name?
It's the same thing, Oakland Cemetery. So it's nice and easy. And links to Facebook and Twitter are found on the Oakland Cemetery site.
So imagine that. I mean, Lee, can you imagine being single and, like, meeting your future wife at the cemetery?
Tours are very popular, aren't they?
They're very popular. I mean, now, you hear about them a lot, but I'm sure the reason I hear about them more is because of the social media aspect.
But is this something, like, obviously being the top social media site for cemeteries, you know, that's great, but are they seeing more people getting tours? Like, what's their metric they're using for success in terms of tracking the effectiveness of this?
No, that's a good point. I mean, all those efforts in social media and any other marketing tactic are all designed to provide a benefit. And the benefit Oakland has seen, we drive a lot more traffic to the website,
right,
which is pretty easy to measure. Overall, this year, our tours are seasonal, so they only run from about March until November. And this season so far for our Twilight tours and our general tours, overall attendance has increased. And really, the social media efforts are the only new plug that's gone into their marketing right. mix. So if you take it year over year, things were pretty constant. You add in this one new component, and if you see a lift to that, you can attribute a lot of that lift to this one.
Charge for the tours, or is that free?
They do. It ranges from anywhere from free for if you're a small enough child up to $10 for an adult.
So this is a way they're increasing their revenue by doing social media.
It is. Oakland Cemetery is a city park, but it's also a nonprofit foundation. So the city maintains a lot of the public grounds, basic landscaping and trash removal and things of that nature. But the foundation is who handles all the more upscale landscaping, restoration of markers and monuments. All that's done through private giving and through fundraising efforts. And so getting more people in the cemetery to do tours, which can then turn to people becoming members of the foundation. All of that helps raise money for them.
Now, what's your business? Is this your business helping people use social media?
No, this is just a side hobby of mine. I mean, I work at NASA, but
NASA with the rockets?
With the rockets, right. and so this is something I do on the side for them because I live nearby, and Oakland's always a special place to me, and I was already volunteering there anyway, and so I just kind of picked this up for them. But all of this is just more personal interest.
The dabbling in the Foursquare Atlanta, all that, that's just like a hobby for you?
It's all for fun and to try and help the community.
Now, are you finding the community open to being helped in this area? I'm finding when I mention Foursquare or any of these social media tools, the public is hungry for that.
Are you finding? Yeah, but for Foursquare Atlanta, there's a lot of people that have questions and just want advice on what kind of specials they should offer and things of that nature. And I've helped out with a lot of festivals and events to try and help them find a way to incorporate Foursquare into their festivals. And so businesses just need help with that. And so it's just a resource for them and individuals too.
Are you finding the people at Foursquare, the official Foursquare, are they open to you helping like this? Are you working with them in any way, like creating badges or specific?
We don't create badges specifically. It's a revenue stream for them, and it's a direct line. They are very excited about these kind of self-grown user communities. And Atlanta kind of started right really early on. It was one of the first ones that was city-specific, and now it's being emulated all across the world. There are probably, I think, 30 or 40 cities and other countries that have done this, even as far as Beijing and Indonesia and Indianapolis, Portland. All these are kind of popping up, and now they're starting to try and push this type of concept to colleges. And this is coming top down from Foursquare. It's a brand new thing they're trying to roll out to try and create these user groups at colleges across the country. So it's really we were kind of early on, with Foursquare Atlanta, and now it's spreading all over the world.
Right.
Wow.
And you didn't even know about it.
I didn't even know about it until today. Where have I been?
And we've been doing Foursquare here for a year.
So which square am I on now?
You're always in the center square.
Yeah, right. That's wild. So if someone wants to find out more about Foursquare, like myself, how do you suggest I do it? I mean,
For an individual that doesn't have a business, what would be a reason for them to be on Foursquare?
Well, it depends on the person. I mean, the life cycle for individuals varies over time. When people first start out, it's just kind of I'll try it out and check in places. And you start, and early on, you earn a lot of badges quickly, which I think gets people hooked
on it. It's
like
a game.
It becomes more like a game. And then I think as your life cycle changes, it becomes more of a way to interact with people. And I mean, I've been somewhere and checked in and seen that someone I know is
right next to
next
you.
Door, okay. And, or even in the same place. And you're like, oh, they're here, and you go find them. And it's a way to kind of bridges the gap between technology and the that kind of world into real life, which is very, very different from like a Twitter and a Facebook.
But what about some people have concerns about letting people know where they're at?
Yeah, so the privacy thing comes up a lot, especially when you're talking about an application that you're telling people where you are.
That means, like, I'm here. That means I'm not at home, robbers.
Right, yeah, there's the whole please rob me kind of thing for a while. And the thing about that Foursquare is different from, let's say, a public Twitter feed is only people who you have approved to follow you can see where you're at. And so it's not...
So people are more selective than of who are their followers in Foursquare than they are maybe in the other ones.
Right. And you also have to worry, if you are very selective and very concerned about that, don't feed your Foursquare check-ins to Twitter, which is a public profile.
The purpose.
Yeah, exactly. And I wrote a post on Foursquare Atlanta about privacy and ways you can make changes in the settings to really kind of restrict it as much as you want to. And so if you visit foursquareatlanta.com, the privacy post is on there.
And then is that spelled out, Foursquare? Is it?
Yeah, you can get to it by just spelling it out, Foursquare Atlanta, or the short way to catch it is the number 4SQATL. And that's the Twitter handle as well.
So now when you walk out the door, are there going to be all of your fans standing outside? Because you will have posted on Foursquare that you were here.
I don't have anybody following me around, at least not that I know of. If they're following me around, they're pretty good at keeping low-key.
Only the ghosts from Oakland following.
That's right. Oakland is on Foursquare as well. So Oakland has a Foursquare account, and we'll leave tips at restaurants and stuff.
I've been doing Foursquare. I did, like you said, I was on it a lot, and then I got kind of lost interest because, you know, I'm like, why am I doing this? And then, but I was in the airport, and so I checked in Newark, and there was like 50-something people checked in that were there active at the same time I was on Foursquare. It was really interesting, where most of the time you check in, like maybe there's one person or mostly zero people with you. But in this case, it was like 50-something people at the same time. It was wild.
Yeah, I mean, the airport pretty much stays in a constant state of swarm, is the quote-unquote. Anything with 50 or more people is under a state of swarm. Turner Field swarms about every game now. I would expect the Falcons games to have a pretty large turnout for each game. Super Swarm is kind of the what you want to try and get to. It's like everyone's striving to try and get to, which is 250 people checked in simultaneously. Wow. There's only been probably about 25 times that's even happened in the world so far.
So that would have to be like a Burning Man or South by Southwest.
Yeah, South by Southwest was why that badge was created. It was made just for South by Southwest, and then later on it was released to where you could unlock it anywhere in the country. And I think somewhere in Indonesia was the first place to unlock it after South by Southwest, and it was for the Iron Man 2 opening. I guess the movie theater there was packed with people watching that, and so they unlocked it first, and we did an effort to try and unlock it here in Atlanta at Sweetwater Brewery. I guess it's probably about 2 months ago. We planned a little party there, and we didn't quite get there. And actually, no place in Atlanta has gotten it yet. So I'm hoping maybe
one day
to give another Super Swarm party chance or Falcons games maybe.
That's a good one.
Maybe try and run like a
Georgia special Tech special. There. Maybe we'll get the
or a big concert.
Right, a Georgia Tech football game.
Yeah, that could be.
A Tech football game. I mean, it's definitely getting more and more popular with at the college crowd level.
Yeah, so. I would think.
So, yeah, college football games, UGA could even do it.
Right. Cool.
Great information. Great information, Chad. So if folks want to reach you or want to know more about the tours at...
Or NASA. You get tours in NASA?
That sounds interesting. That all sounds pretty top secret here, huh?
They don't let anybody in there. So.
How can folks reach you?
For Oakland Cemetery, just visit oaklandcemetery.com. The Twitter page and the Facebook page are on there. Foursquare Atlanta is the number 4SQATL. If you want to learn more about Foursquare stuff going on in the city and different specials you can find around town. And just for me personally, the best place is just to catch me on Twitter, which is at RatPack, RATPACK.
Cool. Wonderful. Thanks good for stuff. Being with us today. Gosh, I learned so much.
I know.
That's wild, Lee. So now
I'll have to fill you in on this another time.
You will so have to fill me in. But now that I think about it, I've seen people post, and it's like, well, like I really need to know that they're having sushi at this restaurant now. But if I were at the car wash, on the other hand, and now we're looking
sure
for folks
to
talk with.
Foursquare.
Getting my car washed, sitting there thinking, who around me do I know? Who's doing the Foursquare? Our next guests this morning, Rob and Ben, are with Swifty Car Wash. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show.
Thank you.
Good morning.
So tell us about Swifty Car Wash. I love a clean car.
Well, so do we. We've got seven locations. We span from north all the way to Chattanooga and south down to McDonough.
Wow.
But
there's got a whole little car wash empire going here.
It's a chain.
Are you the founders of the chain?
No, we work for two owners that started car washes as a side business.
Wow, a bucket of, who would think, a bucket and a hose. Look where they are now.
That's right. So how long have you been with Swifty?
Well, I've been with Swifty since we started, we built our first store in 2004 in Decatur. And since then, we've kind of expanded into, what, like Rob said, seven stores. And we just brought Rob along. He's our director of marketing and quality control, and so he's bringing some good things to help our company grow and take our company to the next level. So.
I'm the newbie. 3 months.
3 months. So you don't know anything about it. They make you wash cars? Is that your initiation?
Towels.
Towels? That's a work job?
We don't use any of that stuff. It's we have a fully automated process. We've got the concept that we have is called Express, Exterior Express. And so our game is to have customers come in and go through our Express tunnel. They buy various packages of washes, and then when they're done, they pull around and do their own vacuuming.
Okay, now
so it's a cost effective and you know, very economical way for people to keep their car clean.
Some of our sites start at $3, and you know, some of our sites are priced at $5. So ranging from it's a very economical price to get your car washed, and we also offer free vacuums. And kind of going back to your question, it's a conveyor automated car wash. Our conveyors range from 90 feet to 140 feet. So,
do you sit in the car?
Yeah, you actually drive around to the pay stations, and we have about 5 wash packages to select from.
Right,
and it's fully automated, and we take cash or credit. And you basically stay in your car, and we have an attendant to load you up onto the conveyor.
It needs a second person to help you get into the conveyor?
Well, yeah, I mean, we need somebody to help you, to guide you onto the...
It's not that simple,
and what the hardest part is, you know, trying to get somebody to put their car in neutral.
That's the hard part? People can't figure out neutral?
No, sometimes they get it mixed up with reverse sometimes.
Yeah, that happens.
That's not good.
NRD, that's confusing.
So is it safer for your vehicle? I know I'm always reluctant to go through those because I'm always
I have a convertible. I can't go through, right?
Well, no.
As long as you have the top up.
Really? It'll be gentle enough to the soft top?
Yeah, actually... I mean, the car washers have come a long way since, you know, probably back in the days that you used to wash your cars.
Yeah,
and
maybe. The Model T.
How old do I look here?
Your Model T.
But car washers typically had a bad reputation because of the cloth that they used.
Right, it would whack the, you know, things, antennas are flying off.
Right, but it's kind of generated. There's a fairly new material called NeoGlide, and the difference between NeoGlide and the soft cloth is that the NeoGlide actually reflects the dirt off the vehicle and not absorbs the dirt. And so the dirt that from previous vehicles before you go in doesn't stick to the material, you know, and just, you know, that way.
It's gentler.
It's a lot gentler.
Very gentle, right.
And we also use microfiber emitter cloths. And, you know, I'm sure everybody's up to date on microfiber. And
like the Swiffer?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a little bit different
Swiffers?
Material. It's a little bit different than that, but it's the same material. Mm-hmm. But some of the other things separates automated washes compared to hand washes or do-it-yourselves is, you know, from our different packages, we offer polishes and conditioners. We also rinse the vehicle off with spot-free water, also it's a touch-free drying system.
So it's like a big blow dryer? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's actually, you know, we range from, probably about 8 to 12 blowers in our tunnels.
Wow.
So you go through a drying, you know, a touch-free drying system. There's no extra.
And that's not going to hurt my convertible top.
No. We wash convertibles, you know, on a daily basis. So
it's just loud. Have you ever been through one of those in your convertible?
Never. I've been afraid.
I do all the time. You'll find out if you have any leaks very quickly. But I take my convertible through the.
Really?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So how is this different than the ones like in the back of gas stations?
Well, just the overall equipment is fairly, you know, more advanced. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, the tunnels, like I said, we have, you know, tunnels ranging from 100 feet to 150.
What's a typical gas station size?
Probably about 40 feet, probably.
So it's kind of like half or a third the size of.
You actually park your car in the middle of the
right,
the bay,
and then the thing just like swoops
and it goes
over
back
you back
and forth. Right, and so You know, and it's usually touch-free, in which, you know, you kind of need some
you need some touch.
Yeah, you need some touch.
Not a lot of touch.
You need
just a little bit.
A gentle touch.
The Swifty touch, right? So, Rob, I'm sure there's got to be some type of environmental friendly tie-in, because you're a car wash and everybody knows that you need to be good to the environment. There's chemicals involved there, and there's lack of water in certain areas.
The nice thing about our wash is, number one, we use a system called Reclaim, which is a large portion of the water that's used to wash the car. It goes into a system that separates all the dirt and grime that has just come off, and it gets filtered, and then it gets used again on the next car.
So you want to be the first car, right?
No, once it goes through the filter, you've got essentially, you know,
it's
gray
clean
water that's perfectly acceptable to use on your car.
Not quite drinkable, but, you know, it's fairly clean.
That would be a good demonstration to watch you drink that water.
Yeah, so the advantage to that is that we're collecting all the dirt and grime and sludge, and
right,
then we have that disposed of in an environmentally safe process.
So that's great.
Right, and then
I bet the gas stations don't do that.
They usually don't run on a reclaim system.
Yeah.
No. So we're using less water. The chemical processes that we use are safer for your car to start with, because one of the amazing things that I found out when I got hired was I'd been through the washes plenty of times. I'm a customer.
Right.
But when you drive through one of those things, you see a wall with some doors on it, and when you go behind that wall, there's a whole room filled with, you know, several chemical processes and equipment and machinery that are really tied into making a clean car, for one,
right,
and a system that, you know, saves energy, saves the environment.
How long does it take for a Swifty?
We usually like to get the car in and out within 3 minutes.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, that's – and another thing that that we do is, as I mentioned before, is we rinse the vehicle off with spot-free water. And it usually takes about 3 gallons of fresh water to make 1 gallon of spot-free water. So what we do with that extra reject water is what we call it. We then put it into we recycle it and put it back into the wash system. So we try to use every little bit of extra water and recycle water as much as we can.
Now, are your locations like freestanding by themselves somewhere, or are you affiliated with other things?
No, they're all freestanding washes.
And where are they typically located? Where, I know you have 7 locations, so.
Well, the rundown, we have Chattanooga. There's one in Athens, Winder, Covington Highway near 285, Memorial Drive over near Belvedere, Moreland Avenue south of I-20, and then down in McDonough, Highway 155.
So none in the city here, like Atlanta, Sandy Springs, Dunwoody?
Not up this way, no.
Right.
I think y'all have plenty in that area.
No Swifties.
Well, there's
right.
Two things. I mean, there's one is, you know, we can talk for the industry, and we can talk for our own company. So, you know.
Is it a franchise, or you're all
probably owned?
Owner-operated? Mm-hmm. Everyone's owner-operated? Mm-hmm.
So, again, just to, you know, to take care of your car and go through an automatic wash, is you're going to protect the environment. You're going to do yourself well to protect the finish of your car. You're going to do that anywhere you go, regardless if you're, you know, here and
right. But so you Arizona. Recommend how often? Well, you guys probably daily, right? You should.
How often should you wash your car?
Right, every day. no, typically, you know, if your car is garage kept, then you know, once or twice a month. If you're vehicle is kept outside, then maybe once a week or up to, you know, twice a month is typically what we like. And what we do, a service that we offer at our sites is kind of like you can wash your car one wash per day for a month for $35. And that's,
do people do that?
Yeah, it seems
convenient.
Oh, no, like limo drivers or something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, dealerships and limo right. drivers, taxis.
Right.
They're really big on purchasing the wash pads.
Sure.
And like I said, we always try to provide an economical way to take care of your vehicle. And you know, the Swifty Wash Pass is just one of those ways that we offer that.
Yeah,
terrific.
That's a good one.
Give us the website again.
The website is SwiftyCarWash.com. Okay. And our friends over at CAP Interactive are busy recreating a new website for us right now.
Oh, another Jay CAP.
That's right.
Friend of the family here.
That's right. Yes, friend of the family.
Thanks, Jay.
Yeah.
So what we're going to do is when we reveal our new website, we're going to have some better ways for customers to come on, learn more about the process, learn more about, you know, why buying one of the more expensive washes can do you good.
Now you said there's somebody that helps you guide you through, I guess, the car wash, or at least the beginning of it. Is there someone that takes your money physically, or is this all automated?
No, at the pay station where you actually select your wash, you then insert.
So there's a human there. Like, this isn't like an automated thing.
The pay station is automated.
Right.
And then a gate comes up, and you move up to the
human.
The conveyor, and then there's a human.
So there's one person in each location?
We usually like to staff it to one to two people per location.
So I hope you guys are going to be using Foursquare
and
all these social media things.
Oh, actually, we got that in all of our notes is the Foursquare, and it was very interesting to learn all that. So.
Yeah, it is.
I'm hoping my first experience with Foursquare might be that the Swarm or Super Swarm down at Sweetwater.
There you go.
I'm going to try that one out.
That sounds like a great idea. Now, I'm going to be on the lookout for one of your car washes because I do love a clean car.
And you travel all over the place.
I do. I'm always in my car. And I would love to have the everyday car wash. You know?
Really?
Oh, I would. I love a clean car.
You know, I would sell your thing to like people with kids. No, really, kids love car washes.
Kids love it. Kids, and in fact, we talk to a lot of our customers, and the only reason that they come by it's because their kids wants to see the soap.
Right, exactly. I would do a special, if you're as a kid, like you give them a discount or something.
Yeah.
All kinds of great ideas here.
And we also offer free vacuums. I don't know if we mentioned that earlier. But,
yeah,
you know,
but
free
you
vacuums.
Don't vacuum. I got a vacuum.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
How much extra do I pay to get your guy to vacuum?
All kinds of different
we'll
ideas.
We'll never know.
Y'all, thanks so much for being with us today. We appreciate the insight, and I will absolutely look for a Swifty car wash now. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
You know, when the economy is bad, there are a few things that are recession-proof. One, they say, is cosmetics, and the other one is alcohol. Our next guest this morning is here from Action Bartending School. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show, Kamal.
Thank you, Amy. Appreciate it.
So, Kamal, Action Bartending School. You know, I've always been curious how these bartenders have the skills to throw the glass up, to make it look entertaining. Tell us about your school.
Absolutely. We are a state-certified school, certified by the state of Georgia, by the non-post-secondary education. And we started the school 3 years back, and we graduate around 40 to 50 students a month. And we teach them right from basics, how to set up a bar, what are the different glasses used in making cocktails, mm-hmm. what are the different garnishes used. And then we have lessons from day one to day five, and we teach them right about wines, what food goes with what wines, how you read a label of a bottle, what grapes are used, what region it comes from, and teach them about customer service, alcohol awareness. So it's a complete program that actually helps you to become a certified bartender, and you can work in any kind of environment, right from a nightclub to any hotel or a very fine dining place.
Do you have relationships with these different restaurants and stuff around
Absolutely.
Town to help get the person a job?
Yes, we do. We have a lot of good relations with most of the bars here in Atlanta. And also all the hotels, we do have a staffing company also in-house. So what we do is we contract the various bartenders at various positions whenever there is big parties and events. So we, to name some, we have the Marriott, the Ritz-Carlton, the Holiday Inn, Crown Plaza, Sheraton, Hyatt, Regency. So they all depend on us. Whenever they have big functions, they give us a call and we take care of them. And that actually helps the students also to become more efficient bartenders when they work in an environment like that.
Oh, I'm sure. So how long are your classes?
Basically, it's a self-paced program. Normally, it's 1 week or 2 week, depending upon the pace of our students. What we do is our curriculum is designed in such a way that they finish off in 1 week, and after that, we give them a job postings, and they can also start working through our staffing company. So it is they can either finish off in 1 week or 2 weeks, and we teach them right from basics to how to become a certified bartender.
Do bartenders make a lot of money?
Absolutely. The average what our bartenders make is anywhere from $15 to $25 an hour.
Well, that's more than I thought, actually. And it probably depends on the
location. Is that with tips?
That includes the tips.
Wow.
There's nothing worse than getting a drink, like ordering a drink and having it not made properly. Like I ordered a Bloody Mary recently and it was rimmed with sugar.
Wow.
Oh, wow. Not good. And I thought it was salt and then, yeah. No, definitely not good. So, and there's a
come
science
on, how
to
do
it.
You know how to make all these drinks?
I've actually done my bachelor's in Hotel School of Management and oh. I started my career working with a 5-star for a diamond property. And in fact, I used to go to every hotels, like there were a chain of hotels. I used to started my career with Taj Group of Hotels and used to go to restaurants and bars and actually make specialized drinks and see that how to make those bars profitable.
Right. Oh, so do you ever create your own drinks?
I've created 4 of the drinks which became very popular. I was actually, when I started my career, I was in India. Made 4 cocktails which were named on 4 horses which were very popular. There used to be a lot of horse racing there. Mm-hmm. So I named 4 cocktails, which is Red Cockadoo, Track Lightning. And so this cocktails really became very popular.
But none in your school, you don't have a signature?
Signature drinks, basically, we teach more on the basics, like margaritas, mojitos, martinis, which is very much popular. Because we don't want to create our own signature drinks. We want to
confuse them, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Now, when a person gets a job at a bar, sometimes the bar has their own unique way of making drinks. Like, do they have the skills to kind of adapt to that environment?
Absolutely. What our school does is it creates a foundation for them. Like when you create a building, the foundation is all set. So when they go to any kind of environment, any kind of a bar, let it be a fine dining or even a nightclub, they have the confidence to learn right from the basics. And even if they have 1 day of training, they can actually take it to a next level. And even if your trainer is not teaching them properly, they will understand the basics behind it, what needs to go in the right measures of the drinks, what garnishes are used, and that helps them a lot.
How old do you have to be to go to the bartending school?
The age here in Atlanta is 18 in the state of Georgia. So that's what is required.
So is that the drinking age?
That's the serving age, actually.
Oh, so you can be younger. You can be 18 to serve, but you have to be 21 to drink.
That's wild.
To drink.
Wow, that's interesting. Did you know that?
I didn't know that. I mean, I thought for sure it would have been 21. Now, how long have you been in bartending?
We started the bartending school 3 years back, but in my career, I've been in this business for the last 20 years now.
Wow, and I'm looking at your resume right now. Did you really work at the Peabody? What was
yes.
that like?
Oh, it was a great experience, and I'm sure you heard about the ducks there. They have a red carpet.
Yeah, I've seen that. But I've seen the one in Orlando has one.
Right.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Or I think it is. It has ducks. Is that the only one with ducks?
The Peabody is known for the ducks and the red carpet, and those ducks must be very well taken care of.
Absolutely, yeah. They're treated as VIPs. They're treated more important than any guest who walks in.
Now, if one of them dies, do they make the menu?
That's not funny. Speaking of menus, though, I know that bartending has changed a lot in the past probably 5 years because people think of it in terms of mixology and having your drink really go with your food. Do you teach those skills at all?
Absolutely. We teach them what drinks go with what food, so in this way they can do upselling, and that really helps them to make more tips. And right from especially this goes very well with the wines. And the very basic rule, what they follow is with the red wines, they serve red meat. With white wines, it's white meat. So it becomes very easy for them in upselling.
Right. Now, when you're learning about this, I'm sure you have the fake bottles, right? But it's not really liquor in there, right? It's just colored water?
Yes.
But how do you help them with the wine? Because I would think wine is more of a kind of a taste. They got to have some kind of a understanding of the nuances of wine.
So it's more on the theoretical side what we teach them, because we teach them.
You're not opening bottles of wine for these kids, are you? There's no way.
We are actually, as we are state regulated, we are not.
You're not allowed, right?
We are not allowed to.
You're not allowed to use any liquor at all?
No liquor at all.
Wow. Did you know that, Amy?
I didn't
know
that.
Man, you were just learning tons today, aren't you?
I am. I my brain is getting full. So if someone wants to learn how to bartend, you said it's an independent course. They can do it on their own?
But they have to go to your place, absolutely. Right?
Yes.
Because they have to practice with the bottles and right. the... Yeah. Do you teach them the tricks like in that Tom Cruise movie?
That's we teach them on the basic side so that they learn about it. So if, otherwise, they get too overwhelmed with that.
Right.
Then they have to develop their own personality from there, right?
Right, absolutely.
So tell us the name of the website.
It's actionschoolofbartending.com, actionbartendingschool.com.
Actionbartendingschool.com.
So you have a physical location where people go?
Yes, absolutely. We have one in Norcross. It's near Jimmy Carter and Buford Highway.
Okay.
And then they go there, and then they can go, like if they need to go for 2 weeks, they go for 2 weeks. If they can get it done in a week, then they're ready to go in a week.
Right. And we are actually planning to open a second location in Midtown. We actually have tied up with the Sutra Lounge, and
that's
one of the bars. So we wanted to give them the actual experience to work in the real bar.
Oh, so it's like an internship? They do, they practice?
It's still a school, but in the night, the Sutra still takes care of the bar.
Wow.
So that would be a good experience for...
Because there's different roles in a bar, right? Like there's some people like behind the scenes that have to get the ice and do things like that, but then there's people in the front that are dealing with the customer, so it gives them a chance to learn all the different things.
Yeah, they're basically the people who are behind the scene. They are called as bar backs. They actually become an assistant to the bartenders to help them to... swift the process whenever there is a huge rush of clientele who comes in. And they all work together, and basically even the bartenders take care of the bar backs. They give them huge tips.
Right, so portion of their tips right.
is given to them. So they have a good living.
Right.
I'm intrigued by the fact that you help people find jobs after they've completed your school. How do you go about that?
Basically, we have linked up with a lot of bars, restaurants, and hotels. So as soon as they graduate, we get a listing every week of the places we're looking for bartenders. And especially bartenders are in a profession where as soon as they learn the skill, they keep on advancing themselves to work from a slow bar, then they start working into a busy bar. And they are all intrigued by the tips what they make. So there's always job openings every
week. It's a high turnover.
Absolutely.
Now, is there, like, what's the most you've ever heard of a bartender making? Have you heard, like...
In our school, we have a student who graduated and, in fact, made around $1,300 in 6 hours. So that was...
Wow.
And that was, it was a guy, not a girl. Normally, we were told that the girls make more money because of their their smile and their personality. But he proved it wrong, and he showed us that. So, you know, that is a learning example for everybody that we tell them.
Yeah, that starts becoming real money, $1,300 in 6 hours.
No doubt. Not a bad job. And on your website, there was an interesting article that was a transcript, actually, from a CNN interview talking about the recession and how bars are still busy. And it asked if there was a recession cocktail, and I thought it was funny because the bartender replied, yes, tap water. Like, yeah, that would be. That definitely would be.
Right.
So where do you see yourself in 5 years? Do you have goals for expansion?
Absolutely.
Where do you see yourself?
Yeah, we made up our goals. We are opening our second school, and now this will be a good way of us moving up into a third school. We've already drafted a third school coming up also in Atlanta. Then we want to move into other states like Orlando, L.A., and
the big drinking states.
Absolutely.
A lot of bars.
There's a lot to that, definitely. Well, Kamal, thank you so much for being with us today. Give us a website one more time for folks that are interested in finding out more.
It's actionbartendingschool.com.
Good. Wonderful.
And if you're 18, looking for a job,
absolutely,
this is where you go.
And those are skills that you'll use forever. I mean, I kind of wish I knew more about it because I don't.
You should take the class.
Maybe I should.
In a week, you'd be done.
In fact, I had a student who was 72 years old, and he came and took classes, and he's doing exceptionally well.
Right, just to learn, right? There's probably people that want to do it just to learn.
Absolutely.
People that like to have
Can
parties.
You get, student aid? What's financial aid? Is it like
Basically, what we do is we come up, we tell them to, it's because right now we have slashed down our prices also. We are seeing with how the economy is.
Sure.
And it's around $299, so we tell them they can give us in two installments. So in this way, you know, they help.
So $300, you can learn to be a bartender.
Absolutely, and they get a state certification.
Wow! And do you have to do that every year or to renew that?
No, it's once in a lifetime.
Yeah. Huh? I could add that to my repertoire of things I know
how to do. That sounds right up your alley.
It does. It really does. I love to cook, and then I would have a lot of fun, I think, with bartending school.
I think you would.
Well, Kamal, you may see me in one of your classes
soon.
Absolutely,
we'd take you in.
Well, thanks so much for being with us today, and to all of our listeners. Gosh, what a...
Well, we had everybody there. A little of everything.
Thank you so much.
We definitely did. We definitely did. I don't know that we could top that.
I don't think so.
From the car wash to the bartending school to the cemetery.
Right.
Wow.
And then don't forget Dr. Perlo.
Oh, I know.
The in vitro guy that's also a play guy. Who knew?
Wow.
With the hip-hop Chinese son.
Definitely well-rounded here at the Atlanta Business Radio Show. Thank you so much for listening. Until next week, I'm Amy Otto with the Atlanta Business Radio Show. Have a wonderful week.